Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Vanderbilt, a 16-point underdog. Line opened at 14. They are now a 16-point underdog. Chris Lowe joins us now to talk some college football, and you can get him on Twitter, at CLOESPN. And, Chris, let's start with that game, Vanderbilt at Missouri. I don't like the matchup from a Vanderbilt perspective. Emmanuel Hall back out there from Nashville, an electric playmaker, had a huge day, made a big difference for that offense against Florida last week.
Yeah, Missouri seems to be getting well at the right time, and I'm surprised the spread is as big as it is, because Vandy's been really in every game, with the exception of Georgia, but they've lost some tough games. You know, Kentucky's a touchdown game. They're right there with Florida. Obviously, they're right there with Notre Dame. So Vanderbilt's proven, again, with the exception of the Georgia game, they've been right there. So I'm surprised it's that big. But, yeah, Missouri is a team, and talking to some people on Alabama staff, including Nick Saban, he felt like Missouri had been one of the better teams, or maybe one of the more complete teams they had played going into that LSU game last week. So, yeah, I mean, it seems like Locke's getting better. It is a tough matchup. But I'll tell you what, one thing that Derek Mason has typically done, he and his defensive staff, is they have good schemes and scheme up teams pretty well. I'd be surprised if Vanderbilt's not in this game in the second half with a chance to win.
Obviously, we've talked a whole lot about Tennessee and Kentucky today. Not a very big line for that one. And there seems to be a question about how motivated is Kentucky going to be. And I still think they'll be plenty motivated because of all they have to play for. But I think there's also the thought of, well, they're not going to play for the ultimate prize. They're not going to play for an SEC championship. They're going to come into this game let down. I maybe some, but I just don't see it like that.
No, and I don't either, but listen. Kentucky's got a chance to win double figures, being double digits and win for the first time since 1977. And I don't care what they do or what this season looks like. If they finish this thing out and lose to Tennessee in a year that they're favored, that's all anybody's going to remember, that they lost to Tennessee, one of their most heated rivals. And it's just, I keep saying this over and over again, when you look at what Mark Stoops has done there, I know that was disappointing for Kentucky fans last week to lose the way they did, but the way he's built this program and the way they have sort of stayed the course, and I think it puts it all in perspective when you hear this. The last time Kentucky came to Neyland Stadium as a nationally ranked team was 1950.
Wow.
You know who the two head coaches were that day in Knoxville?
I know Bear Bryant was the Kentucky coach.
Paul W. Bear Bryant for Kentucky and General
Neyland, yeah,
for Tennessee.
Yeah.
So it's been a long time. And again, I think that sort of hammers home how long it's been for Kentucky. So, Mickey, I'm right there with you, man. I think Kentucky comes into this game ready to play, on point. Tennessee's going to have to play, I think, probably its best football game, or certainly one of its best football games of the year, and a clean football game to win.
Chris Lowe with us at CLO ESPN on Twitter.
CLO, big tussle in East Lansing. Who do you think shows up? Which Ohio State team you think shows up against Michigan State this weekend?
Yeah, Buckeye fans better hope it's not the one that's shown up the last two games.
No doubt.
They were pretty sloppy against Nebraska and just sort of eked out that win. And then here we all know what happened against Purdue. You know, it's hard to point to Ohio State in the last two games and say this is a playoff team. But when you look at what's in front of Ohio State, and everybody seems to have forgotten about the Buckeyes when they start talking about playoff scenarios, because Michigan has been on a roll. But there's some opportunities here, starting with this one against Michigan State on the road. They can win that one and then beat Michigan, you know, which would be a top three, top four team at that point, and then win the Big Ten championship. See, I think they're right there, even as shaky as they've been these last couple of weeks, they're still right there on the cusp of being a playoff team because they've got those opportunities and high-stakes games in front of them. They're going to play better, certainly play better on defense and quit giving up the big plays that they've given up And I don't know that you fix that overnight, but no, this is a big one for them if they want to stay in that picture at all. They got to win this one in East Lansing.
Chris Lowe with us on 3HL. Yeah, I watched all of that Ohio State Nebraska game. I can't figure them out. They've got maybe the best quarterback they've ever had, and just look disjointed. I want to go back to the SEC. Mississippi State's defense will present Alabama with maybe more problems than anyone else. That defensive line, maybe the best in America. I think Alabama wins easily, but that is an interesting little matchup.
Well, it's the best defensive line they faced. And when I was with Coach Saban last week, he said, hey, LSU is by far the best test we faced. And he was right. I mean, best secondary. They had some guys up front that they hadn't faced. And some skilled people on offense. But this will be the best front that Alabama has faced this year. And we'll see if they can get some pressure on Tua. Talking about Loa, you know, I still don't think Tua's knee is 100%. You sort of saw him gimping to the end zone, but he still got there on that long run last week. But no, I think Alabama is so good and they're so diverse offensively that they can score in a number of ways. And you know, what I wrote after the game, I was in Baton Rouge, Brent, is that basically this is an Alabama team that can beat you just about any way it wants to. It didn't beat LSU. They beat them down physically. And there was a lot of that game that looked like old school Alabama defensively, what they did to LSU. And I think they will do the same thing to Mississippi State and really make them one dimensional. I don't see Mississippi State scoring a lot of points in this game. But maybe Alabama didn't score 40 plus on the Bulldogs, but they'll score enough to where Mississippi State will be able to keep up with them.
Staying in the SEC, do you think Auburn has a chance in Athens against Georgia, or have they proven that they're just too good?
Well, I know they got a chance. This is a series, if you follow SEC football and follow this series, where these two teams have sort of had a habit of screwing it up for each other over the years. And it would sort of be par for the course if Auburn does that to Georgia. You know, now, when I say screw it up Georgia, we know it's already going to play in the SEC championship game, but they can't afford another loss, I don't think, and be in the playoff. I think that would be very difficult, even if they – I guess technically if they lost this game and then came back and beat Alabama in the SEC championship game, they still might get in, but it's, I don't know, it would be a slam dunk. Auburn's good enough defensively to beat anybody. You know, and they haven't played as well the last week or two on defense, but they're so good up front. They create a lot of negative plays. I think that's what it's going to take, is to put it all in Jake Fromm's hands and not let Georgia get that running game going and make him make a lot of throws on third down, and Auburn's good enough defensively to do that. I'm just not sold on being able to be consistent enough on offense. It's been too hit and miss. Their passing game's, you know, boom or bust. They just don't have much of an intermediate game. I think Georgia wins this game, and I think we're going to see another high-stakes Georgia-Alabama game at the same scene or the same venue that we saw on play for all the Marlins last year in Atlanta.
Chris, has there been, and maybe it's just because they're so far away from everything but Mark Mariani's hometown, but has there been a quieter 8-1 than we're seeing from Washington State? They're 8-1, man, and they can be.
Always got to take a jab on here, CeeLo. You see how it is? See how it is around here?
Yeah, how could it ever be quiet when Mike Leach is involved? It's never quiet when Leach is involved, right? I mean, he's always got something to say, and it's usually funny. You're off the wall or no, I think it's a great story because you got Gardner Minshew, who sort of, you know, came from, made a circuitous route to Pullman, you know, he was at East Carolina, and he was going to go to Alabama, and now he's at Washington State, and it sort of leeches this guy that had been at, you know, was back at Valdosta State with Mummy, and then he was at Texas Tech, and now here he is at Washington State, and they come together, it's been a great marriage, and Minshew's, you know, carved the teams apart, and if there is a team in the Pac-12 that has any shot to make the playoff, it's Washington State. I think it's Washington State or nobody. Big game on the road this week. This is one that, you know, in the past, these have been these types of games that have sort of stumped Washington State. They need to get over this one and finish out the season, but I love what Leach has done there. When you go back and look at the Pac-12, Washington State's record against Pac-12 teams before he got there, and what it is after, I think if they can win this game, guys, it would be the 22nd Pac-12 win for Washington State in their last 29 outings. I think it took them 10 years to win that many Pac-12 games before he got there.
Chris, real quick, got about a minute left. Let's go over to the ACC. Clemson at Boston College. Is any speed bump there for them? I don't think so.
You mean the you said the ACC. You mean Clemson and everybody else. I guess that would be Clemson.
I mean, that's what it is, man.
I don't think so. Clemson's just, again, too good on defense, and they're playing their best football right now, the way they're just spreading around. Everybody talks about Trevor Lawrence and his ability to throw the ball, but what about Etienne, their running back, and the way he's continued to hit big plays? They look balanced on offense. We know they've got the front to pressure people without having to blitz. You know, they've got three or four pros on that defensive line. Yeah, it's going to be cold. It's colder than Clemson's used to playing in. Boston College is certainly under. Adazio has been solid, but I don't think they've got what it takes to beat Clemson.
Appreciate the time, Chris. We'll check in with you on Monday and recap what we saw.
You bet. See you guys. Take care.